Welcome to Thirsty Thursday. I'm Jeremy.
Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Doug's back.
I'm back.
Well, I mean, he's been here the entire time, kind of.
He never went away. Come on.
He's back for the first time. Back.
That was a good album.
Okay, so listen. I have huge news. Huge news. Huge. Breaking news, Kevin has finished What We Do in the Shadows, season one, all the way through season three.
Heck yeah.
It only took 2 years of peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I watched the first season once, and then I stopped at the second season, and now I watched it all again in like a matter of 3 weeks, like basically a season a week.
Did you do it alone or did you do it with Deb Deb?
It was on my own. Because I did it while I had free time while I was at my computer.
Yeah.
And it just like kept it on a side screen, but I ended up focusing on it most of the time anyway, because the fucking show is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like it's really good. It's well written. I was telling Jer about this off the recording that I loved that the animations in it that happen are so practical and so kind of cheesy, but it works with the show so well. Like yeah, the doll yep. animations, and then just like the, like I said, the cheesy things that happen within the show throughout the show.
Yeah, and the doll was like a marionette.
Yeah. It was just so good. Like this show, especially the third season, you guys were right about it. Like it was a legit season. Like there was no bad episode. And I'm already ready to revisit it again because Debbie wants to see it again. I'm like, I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm. It helps. It helps that it's all shot at night, so the effects that they do use, any CGI, really blends in well.
Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, yep. if Debbie is interested, then do it. Rewatch it.
Yeah, I mean it's a really easy show to watch. I mean, like it's 22 to 24 minutes per episode, and like it flies right by, just like a bat.
Bat.
So I will say spoilers. If you haven't watched the show, please do. It's so funny, but yeah, there's a couple of things I want to spoil that I like that ending stuck with me too. The but season
you can,
three ending.
You can spoil because we've all watched it. And then all we have to do is say spoilers.
There you go, everyone.
Spoilers.
So yeah, that season three finale, man, that hit the feels and it kind of stuck with me. Like I feel kind of bad. I feel really bad for Nandor and Guillermo the most out of all of that, like at the end of what was happening. So, but it was really good. It was a really good episode. Colin Robinson ended up being such a funny character throughout the show. Like the beginning of it, I was just like, oh God, here we go. He can suck the energy out of the viewer as well, you know? And as it went on, like, I loved his, like, everyone knows somebody in the office that was like that, like an office, mm-hmm. like an energy vampire. And yeah, like his story, like finding his story throughout the three seasons was fantastic. Like everybody's, yeah, I mean, just Jackie Daytona, you know, helping the volleyball team. So fucking great. That episode, I hope they have a revisit to that sometime.
Right. I want to see more Jim the Vampire.
Yeah, Jim the Vampire was fantastic. How did you know I was a vampire?
How did you know that was my name?
Yeah.
On your business card. Oh, yes.
I love at the end he's coaching the team as well. Oh, it's so good. I love how everyone just goes with it. Like, humans just don't. They don't question. It's just like, he looks weird.
Yeah.
I love the Atlantic City episode. Like, I love the episodes they have with his neighbor. His neighbor gets into some weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, guys. Don't you want to buy one of these, like, hyper-allergenic,
yeah.
totally cool dude pillows?
It's like, hey, man, what have you gotten yourself into? And then he opens the garage.
So how many did you buy? Like, oh, I bought a ton. Jesus Christ. It's like, why don't you get your wife and some of her friends to sell it? Like, I can't. It literally says on the box, not for women. It's in the contract.
It's God. So ridiculous.
Yeah. Just like, there's so many moments, so many great characters in it. And the just, yeah, I absolutely loved it. If you've seen the movie and you haven't watched the series, you gotta revisit it. You gotta visit this. It's so good. Just everything that happens in it, man.
I like where we're at with Kev, because we were telling him the same thing and then he wasn't listening, but now he's repeating it to everyone else.
You have to see it.
You have to. And if you don't,
you have to experience it.
Yep.
Oh, and that theme song. I still, that song has been stuck in my head for the last 3 weeks. I don't know who does it, but like, it's just a really good little folksy song.
It was me.
Old song.
I did it.
It's old.
Is it really an old song?
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it an old folk song or is it just like an old, like, release song?
You're Dead dates back. Let's see.
To the 1800s.
No. As the theme song, which dates back to the 1960s, is called You're Dead by the singer Norma Tanaga.
Huh.
But an American folk singer, musician, and painter, best known for her 60s hit Walkin' My Cat Named Dog, which charted both in the US and the UK.
Hmm. Okay.
You're Dead wasn't a hit for Norma, but featured as the opening track of her 66 album, also named Walking My Cat Named Dog. Norma later turned to more instrumental and experimental music projects, as well as teaching English and music and focusing on her art. Oh, she died in 2019, aged 80.
Oh, bummer. Now she's dead. She's out of this world.
Oh, God. Now the song really does. It's come full circle.
I mean, but we're not tired of her song yet. So, I mean, she's not really dead. She wanted to live long, too. She's 80. Is living pretty long. She fucking checked all the boxes. Good on her.
Yeah.
That's like a Babe Ruth thing where she pointed out her fucking home run.
So fucking, it's a great show. Great, great show. It's one of my favorites, if not my favorite show on TV right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It was very good.
FX, man. Fucking props. They've been knocking it out of the park with all of their shows, man. You got Atlanta, Dave, Sun. It's Always Sunny. Yeah, Shadows.
Man, it's almost like
American Horror Story.
It's almost like they could launch their own streaming service.
Right? FX Plus Max.
FX Plus.
It all goes to Hulu because they're a Fox property. Actually, no, they're a Disney property.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Sunny got after they bought it, they were at a Disney shareholder thing and they had like It's Always Sunny posters up there, and I was like, "Congratulations, guys! You're now we're for Disney."
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. They must have recorded this season before the Disney stuff, because that Jeffrey Epstein little mention would probably not be cool with Disney.
Well, but it's not on a Disney channel and it's not on a Disney service per se, right? And I bet the show is going to be every ounce as fucked up as, I mean, look at all the other shows that have been on FX over the last, like, what, 2 year or two since they were purchased. It's still pretty fucked up. Some of the stuff's pretty fucked up.
That's true.
So.
What else? I guess Kev and I at least have been playing a ton of Call of Duty Vanguard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been fun. We get together with Kevin's childhood friends every like Friday, Saturday night and play.
It's so fun.
So that's fun.
Yeah,
we have a good time.
I mean, I'm calling it already. I like it better than Black Ops. I mean, it's back to using the Modern Warfare engine, or at least the Infinity Ward engine, and it's already smoother to play. Despite their having their fashionable glitch with one of their costumes, the game runs really smooth on most people on most people's consoles and PCs. So I mean, it's easy to pick up, man, and it's been so much fun.
Yep, I just wish that we could use our skins from the last game, because I really want to run around as Judge Dredd in World War II, please. I would like to do that.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I don't know why. No one cares about immersion in World War II, like, as our character. Like, we have levels from World War II. We've got guns, everything. That's all fine. Like, our characters can be crazy. They're going to be crazy anyways when they start releasing stuff in the store. So yeah. I really hate that. I really hate that we have to go and not be able to use those.
There's going to be so many World War II vets walking around with pot leaf guns, like pot leaf charms hanging off their guns,
yeah,
or Doritos, Mountain Dew.
I already saw like one of the top tier guns that you can earn is a full animation one with like, you know, like 70s vibes of like lights and everything on it. So I'm like, all right, so immersion broken. Like, let's move on already.
Yeah, give us our shit.
So,
or like Warzone lets you use pretty much all the skins I think you've accumulated so far,
but nobody wants to play that game, Kev,
because there's so many cheaters. They haven't fixed their that new cheat system, anti-cheat system. I think it'll be better,
and it's gotten boring. Like,
has it?
Yeah, we're over it. Like, we're over that whole thing where, you know, you drop in, you die, and rinse, repeat. No one wants battle royale anymore. I took a survey.
And where did you take such survey?
You should have gotten it in the mail. You had to fill it out and mail it back.
Right. So, and the responses I got were overwhelmingly positive that they don't want battle royale anymore. So,
there you go, Activision. Take notes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Forza came out. I know. Kev and I have been playing Forza as well. I don't know, Doug, if you've booted it up or not. I don't know if you're interested, but
No, it looks gorgeous, but I don't, you know, I mean, I don't care about racing games.
I know, but they do add, like, I think you'd be surprised by.
Also, I'm on a 1080, so like, it ain't gonna be running as beautiful as everyone else's. As beautiful as you, guys. Graphics card, not on a 1080. Get out of here. No,
they optimize their games pretty well, though. I mean,
I know, think but it'll still it won't. It's not going to, though. It's not going to.
It's not
going
to look lifelike.
It's not going to. It's going to be. It'll look good. It'll look great, but it won't look as good as you know. So it's all will pass. I'll wait.
It is. I will say this. You may not like racing games, but this is not a. It's different. It's very different. Yes, there's racing to it, but it is. Think of it like a single player game that has like Uncharted. It's got all of these pre-scripted events that happen that you participate in, which are really, really a lot of fun. Like, for example, you get dropped out of a plane, you land, you race to there's a lot of interactive things that start happening. You know, you've got dirt bike racers jumping over your car, and then you hit the water, but then all of a sudden you hit a ramp and you fly on into another like derby racing thing, and then you're stuck between these drivers, and like you got a helicopter coming in as you're coming up a mountain, and then you've got this volcanic stuff raining down on you, and you're like dodging, and I mean, it's just really a lot of scripted fun in those events. Yes, there's a ton of like racing that you can do and stuff, but I think the open world aspect and then the storytelling that they've done really sets it apart from other racing games. It's not just like load up and then race your race and then that's the entire game. It's definitely got a ton of variety for a ton of people. So I would say that if you're not a racing fan, and Doug, it may not have ever appeal to you and you may never even give it a chance, and that's fine, but any listener out there who isn't a racing fan but is kind of like likes cars and stuff or whatnot, even if you don't, I think you'd have a great time with it. I think it'd be a lot of fun for just even casual people.
If I ever get a graphics card that's new, because you know they're starting to wane out, like the 10 series. The they're not doing as many
updates
to the drivers. They're starting to phase those out, which is, I mean, you'll still get them because I know they still support older drivers too, but it's not as frequent. You know, they're focusing on the 30s and 20 series, which, you know, it's fine. It's just, I want to get one of those, and then maybe then I'll play it. But I've been playing a fuck ton of Assassin's Creed. I mentioned last week that I had to fight an Irish wolfhound, and it made me sad.
That's right. Yep.
But I got an Irish wolfhound now who fights for me.
Ooh,
nice. Yeah, he's a big old boy.
How far are you in the game?
Okay, so last I checked, hold on, I was only like 45% through the game, but I when I loaded it back up, since I'm doing it through Ubisoft Connect, you know, they give you like the season pass essentially, so you get all the DLC. So they'd released the Ireland DLC. So I went to Ireland, and that is where I have been spending my last few hours. Yeah, I'm still at 45% because I'm not doing the main story. I've just been doing the DLC, and I'm almost done with the Ireland DLC. Like, I have found just about everything.
So you don't need to be a certain level for that? You just go there?
It'd be level 55, and when I launched back into the game, I was already like level 200 just based on where I'm at in the actual game.
Fucking hell.
I mean, you get points for doing all sorts of stuff in the game. And it's you get like a, like almost level 300 now, just after doing all the stuff. So yeah, I'm fighting against people and I'm doing these fights and stuff. And it's meant, again, when you go there, you're supposed to be there like early in the game, like level, again, 55. And here I am just like fighting shit and level 300. So it's a lot of just like, blah, blah, you're dead. Blah, blah, you're dead. Which what I find really interesting, especially in these games, like, so you're in Ireland, you're fighting these, like, there's druids, and then there's like the evil druids, the bad ones, and they use this like gas stuff that makes you like hallucinate a little bit while you're fighting. And so you'll be fighting these druids who like summon wolves, but then if you're in like one of their little gas zone things where you get affected by the gas, the wolves turn into werewolves because you're hallucinating. So then you're fighting these fucking giant ass werewolves. So sick. It's so much fun.
That's dope.
So playing a lot of that. And Jared, I've been saving this till today to tell you this.
Uh oh. Why does this sound like you're disappointed?
I'm not disappointed.
Okay.
At least not yet. I started a TV show.
Okay.
That you have not shut the fuck up about.
Yellowstone.
I finally started Yellowstone.
Okay, how many episodes are you in?
Five?
Oh my god! Okay, so it's got him. It's got him. What are your thoughts?
My first initial thought was like, hey, if they do Red Dead 3, they just need to set it in present day. Like, yeah. Give me some modern day cowboys, please. Yeah, yeah. Like, because that's what the show is. It's Red Dead, but in present day, like, it's all the same shit. Like, we're trying to infiltrate the government to make sure like that we maintain control of our lands and stuff. Meanwhile, we have Native Americans trying to like also vie for power to like get their lands back. But I don't know who's signed. No one's good. Like, that's the thing too, is like, I would say that, what's his face? Oh my god, I had his name and I lost it.
Kevin Costner?
Yeah, Kevin Costner. Like, he's not a good man.
No.
Like, no. He's not a good man.
No, he's not.
And then, like, but neither is Rainwater, the leader of the native, like, population either. Like, he also not a good man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very interesting, because, like, yeah, it's just, like, man, none of y'all good. I don't know if there's one actual like good character. Maybe the one kid's wife with the son that live on the reservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
She may be the only good character.
One with a good heart.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, what would you do for money? Like, they're trying to keep all their money and all the everything that they have, and they're willing to go to the limits, which is crazy.
Yeah, because they have like land developers trying to move in on their land and build condos in the valley and stuff, and like just destroy the natural like environment of things. And then then you have this one. I mean, everything with Native Americans is very difficult. Like, as far as like, what do we give back? What do we, you know what I mean? And it's one of those, like, this farm and stuff has been in their family for generations, and then they've acquired more around them just to make it the biggest fucking like ranch in the United States. So you have this one guy who's leading them who is acting out of selfishness. It's not, I don't feel like he actually cares about, I mean, like, his crusade is to get the land back, however, by whatever means necessary. Putting people out of business, taking their ranches, buying their ranches, like, giving the land back. But he does it, he's just such an asshole about it. It's one of those things where it's like, it feels like it's a noble cause, but it feels like a sanctimonious, like, noble cause, you know, or it's like, I don't know, sometimes the way that, if, like, how, like, the Inquisition and Spanish Inquisition, you know, it's like, oh, we're here to bring God to you, but, like, no, we're gonna murder you if you don't fucking listen to us. Like, it's that vibe where it's like, you have a just cause, but, like, you're being a dick about it. There's gotta be better ways, but I guess not, you know? I mean, it's been, like, 300 years, 200 years, or whatever, since we've driven them out of their lands.
Yep. Ed texts me. And he was like, he goes, hey, guess what I did? I was like, what? He goes, I downloaded every episode of Yellowstone, and I'm going to start watching it. I was like, badass. So he hasn't texted me back yet. I don't know if he started it or not, but Kev, that's your next one.
If you like westerns, I mean, it's a modern day western with good old boy Kevin Costner. Who, I mean, it's Kevin Costner's a weird actor in that there's like, he plays like three roles: cowboy, baseball player. Like, that's it. No, and then, like, you never hear about him when he's not acting, which is also seems very rare. You rarely hear about anything that he's doing, which is fine.
But this was perfect role for him.
Yeah, and then it's like he's aged, but he hasn't aged. You know what I mean? Like, he still looks like Kevin Costner. I mean, yes, he looks older, but he still looks like, you know what I mean? Like, he hasn't. This is the same fucking dude's been playing the same goddamn role.
Do you know for why? Last, like,
30 years.
He's been. So what I found out after I started watching this was that he actually has been riding horses his like entire life. And he's like huge into it. And like, I don't know if he has his own ranch or whatnot, but yeah, dude is like professional on a horse. So I was like, okay, so this makes sense.
You feel like, yeah, okay, I've done four westerns now. Like, at some point, I might actually just, this is just me now. This is just my life. Like, I ride horses now. Yeah, I mean, dude's a fucking, I mean, maybe he's been doing it longer than that, obviously, but it's just one of those, like, of course you're good at riding a horse. And I'm sure he's doing, maybe not all of his stunt work, but like, I'm sure he's not the one riding that one fucking Bronco that they're trying to tame, that's fucking wild.
My favorite character has got to be Rip. I don't know. I think you've probably met him already. He's kind of the leader of the bunkhouse. Wears all black.
Oh yeah, you meet him in like the first episode.
Oh my god, I love that character. He's an absolute madman, but his character is so dope. And then Casey Dutton. He reminds me so, I cannot get it out of my head, but he reminds me so much of the lead character of the motorcycle show that everybody was into.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, he gives me so many of those vibes. Same, it's like, it's almost like the same architect of the character.
Yeah, I feel that way about a couple of the characters where it's like, okay, I know your role. Like, I know who you are. Like, just based on, I'm just general storytelling and media and stuff, like we've seen, but absolutely this kid who like has that beef with his dad and doesn't want to be a part of it, and Man, okay, dude, the episode with the flashback with the mom. Fuck her. She sucks. I'm trying to make it like it's this big thing that their mom. No, your mom sucked, y'all. Your mom was a bitch.
The whole family is fucked up. So it's in for a wild ride, man. It's oh my god. And the people who they bring in through the seasons, like all the characters that you'll meet coming up, you'll just be like, holy shit, like, what is he doing here? So it's good. So Kev, put it on your list.
Is it anything? I mean, I can't really handle those like super, super tense shows, like say Ozarks. Is it anything like that?
It's definitely.
No, I wouldn't say it's not like it's intense as Ozark. Like, I'm not necessarily worried about people's lives as often as Ozark, where you're like, you're going to fucking die.
That's what I'm saying. Like Ozark had my blood pressure going on the first episode and I'm just like, I can't do a series of this. And so I checked out real quick on that. But I mean, if it's something that's a little bit less of that, I think I can check it out.
Yeah. This one is definitely a kind of like, it's got some drama to it. It's definitely got some great gunfights. Like Doug said, it's Red Dead if they filmed it.
Awesome. That would be worth watching because obviously the Red Dead storylines were amazing.
So it's got, I mean, it's really, really great writing. It's really great writing. So, yeah. All right. Well, I mean, that kind of does it for Thirsty Thursday.
I also watch Shang-Chi.
Oh, yeah. We all watched that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
Some of the best fighting sequences in the Marvel universe thus far.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It was fun. It was great. It was fun. And it was also really cool to see, like, the, like Asian culture represented in not just like the Marvel universe, but also just like in cinema and done like didn't feel like it had been appropriated or whatever. Like, you know, like we didn't, it's not like Mulan or whatever, right? Where it's like, ooh, this is not.
Yeah.
But when they go to that one place and there's like those lions and stuff that you know, like that look like they're statues and stuff. It was like, oh, that shit, beautiful. That's sick as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was cool.
Fucking Colin goes, he was like, what is this, Pokemon? I was like, shut up. Clearly, Pokemon drew inspiration from all the mythos of the culture. So,
oh, yeah.
Man, so many Easter eggs in that too, man. So many cameos that you have to really keep an eye out for. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, Abomination fucking shows up like just randomly fights fucking Doctor Strange's partner.
Okay, I thought you were going to bring up the fact that we got what's his name back.
That too. That was great.
And I was like, and he wasn't even there for like, it wasn't a short cameo. Motherfucker was in the movie for half the movie.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Yeah, man.
I mean, so I know Marvel like posted the little short film that they did on like the one of the Blu-rays that like they and they were like, oh, get Disney ready Plus. For Shang-Chi, like get ready, you should watch this. But I thought it was just gonna be talking about like the Ten Rings and the Mandarin mythos and stuff, all that whatnot, and then they call that out too, where they're like, a fucking white dude who appropriated my story, didn't even know my fucking name.
Why would I name myself after an orange or something?
Yeah, like that? Yeah. Yeah, he's like, he named himself after a chicken dish.
Yeah.
So funny. Fucking funny. That was a good story though.
Mm-hmm.
It was. And then I was also like, is this the same gate and valley and thing that they talk about in Iron Fist? Like, is this all the same shit? I couldn't remember what the name of the gate was that Iron Fist talks about, only opens once a year, that you have to pass through to get to where he has to fight the dragon.
Sounds familiar. I can't
remember.
I mean, technically that's what they ended up fighting in the end, or they had the dragon protectors.
Yeah.
So yeah, that movie is beautiful. And yeah, that scaffolding fight scene, so cool. It took me back to like kind of watching like a Jackie Chan classic, you know, just as far as like the fight stunt coordination,
the technicality.
Just, Yeah, and just how everything kind of like how everyone uses the set to their advantage, like their background, like, you know, use like kind of like falling off the, you know, just the way they use the scaffolding to the to like, yeah, it's just great.
Did you
see to their advantage?
What was I going to bring up? Oh, the guy who was live streaming on the bus. Did you notice? Did you? OK, first of all, he was great. But did you notice he was also in another Marvel movie?
Wasn't he in like Spider-Man?
He was in Spider-Man. He was the he was in New York, where he's the one who asked Spider-Man to do a flip.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, do a flip.
Yeah.
Going coast to coast.
Yep. So anyways, so okay. No,
it's not the same gate, it looks like, because it's Kunlun from Iron Fist, and it was like Low Son or something like that. I forget. And
similar placement though, as far as like taking the certain path and everything. That was cool too, the moving forest. That was mm-hmm. that was a cool scene.
Yeah,
hello,
dope movie.
That's
dope,
what it was.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah,
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.